Hello again, guys. Hi there. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is for you right now as you listen to this. If you are new and this is your first time listening to me, hi, my name is Rochelle. Very nice to meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to click on my podcast today and listen to me speak instead of any other podcast or whatever else you might be doing with your time. You're choosing to listen to my words and listen to me speak, and that truly means everything to me. Now, this episode might be a little bit different because the fact that I am not home. This is the first episode I'm making where I'm actually outside and I'm at a park by where I live. And the reason I chose to do this today is because over the past 2 years, I've really learned about myself, 2-3 years, that the places where I feel the absolute safest and most connected with myself and with the universe is with parks, when I'm at a park, or in a car. Parks and cars. Those are the two places where I feel the most deeply connected, and pensive thoughts tend to just flow through me. And I think the reason why is because it kind of, both of those places remind me how big the world really is, how much there is around me. It reminds me of the small surroundings that I may not be paying attention to and am likely not paying attention to throughout my days. When I'm staring at my phone, perpetually looking at the transit app to make sure that I don't miss the bus, or I'm thinking about the different responsibilities or opportunities I should be taking to either make more money in some way, to pay bills, or I'm thinking about the assignment that is due in 2 hours that I need submitted, whatever it might be. I'm focusing on those things rather than the world that's actually right in front of me. And it kind of reminds me how big the world is. I remember driving around a lot when I was 20, 21. I would just drive around Pittsburgh and I would stare at all of the little shops and just kind of look out and not even know that these areas existed, not even know or have ever heard of these places. And I like small reminders like that of how big the world really is and how much I haven't yet seen. So we're gonna do something a little bit different today. This park is quite quiet. There aren't that many people. I mean, certainly there's people driving by and I'm sorry for any noises, but there aren't many people who ever come to this park. There's always very few. I see some women just sitting in chairs. I've never seen that many people really actually all together in one little area, but they're all just together conversing, older women, and I see a boy walking with his backpack, and there's actually some guy doing yoga. I saw him by a different tree. I'm sitting by a tree and he is lying down and was just like stretching, and it looked like he was praying too. So this park is quite quiet, and I apologize for any noises, but it really does make me feel more connected and more tuned into who I am and how I feel. So what I want to be talking about today is, and let's see how much it really flows. If I want to, you know, go deeper into other subtopics, then I will totally do that and let myself speak about whatever I want rather than focusing on one topic. But the original topic that I want to mainly focus on is identity and the identities that we carry throughout our entire lifetime and how that affects us from childhood into adulthood, and things that I think about all the time because my brain is very complicated and she don't ever shut up. So, identity. Something I'm really noticing more as I delve deeper into my adulthood. I'm only 23, but I am in graduate school and I interact with people in their late 20s, 30s, 40s plus all the time. I'm one of the youngest people in my program. One of the youngest people I know who are doing what I do, and therefore I tend to observe adults all the time, and I overanalyze their behavior and the things that they say constantly. And I work at a daycare now with a client, and I watch the teachers and I watch the things they say and how they act, and certain emotions that might be overt and obvious to me. Something that I've kind of just put two and two together with and really come to understand is that everything that we do is somehow related to the identity that we've over time created for ourselves and for other people to understand. So when we are in any sort of situation whatsoever with, let's say, like class icebreakers, when I have to say who I am and what it is that I do and how I identify myself, I say, "Hi, I'm Rochelle. I am in this and this program. This is my fourth semester, and I work with individuals with autism and or other mental disorders." That's my introduction. That's what I say. How I explain, who I am and what I do. When somebody sees me for the first time in a couple weeks or a couple months, and the first thing that they say is, "How's school? How's school? How's school going? How's work going? How's your client? Blah, blah, blah." It's all based around my identity. When we do anything covert or overt, we express something within us that we feel is our identity. And it tends to be very subconscious and subliminal also. Most of the time when we say things, when we do things, it stems from our subconscious and that we don't even have awareness of it. We don't have awareness of it. We're just going off of our identity. And then we just continue through that identity again and again and again and again. And our ego genuinely believes that that is who we are with no questions asked. And we don't give ourselves room to expand and to become something new. And we tend to, especially on social media where things are fake, things aren't real, we treat people the way we wouldn't treat them in real life. We tend to not give other people room, other people permission to have a different identity, to develop differently, to say different opinions than what they thought 5 years ago, 6 months ago. We don't give other people room and we don't give ourselves room to develop a different identity. So when I'm in that icebreaker situation, let's put it that way, I may say things in a certain way, with a certain demeanor, with a certain tone. I might say that extremely, let's just say, for lack of a better term, confidently and arrogantly. I could be like, "Yeah, I'm Rochelle. I'm in this and this and this program." Or I could say things very uncomfortably and not wanting to come off in a certain way and caring what other people think. And that goes into my identity as well. When I interact with people let's say it's like an acquaintance thing. So the person has some kind of idea about who I am, but they're not that close to me. So they're just genuinely talking. I'm so sorry, there's kids running and screaming. So let's say it's an idea of like not meeting someone for the first time, but I've met them a couple times, they have an idea of who I am, but they don't know me that well, we're not that close. So we're having a conversation about something, and then they learn that I'm going to school to be a therapist. I'm going to school for psych, and I'm getting my master's in counseling psych. They begin to shape and form a certain sense of who I am based upon what I do and how I conduct myself. And then they start to treat me in a sense of what they think is compatible with that sort of personality type. Everything is based on identity nowadays. It's so utterly confusing. And I genuinely contemplate all the time whether our identities can be drastically changed or whether they're quite permanent because they were developed in childhood. Can our identities truly be changed? Because, like I said, we need to give ourselves and others permission to gain different perspectives and different ideas of how the world works and what is morally correct or incorrect. But simultaneously, things tend to stay quite stagnant for years on end, and things tend to be coming from a certain core. And is that who we are? Or is that just how we've been conditioned? Is that truly, truly, truly how we are at the core? Is who we are at the core synonymous with how we outwardly behave? Or are they entirely different? And this is something that I really, really struggle with understanding and trying to figure out if those two are the same thing or not, or they stem from an emotion that isn't truly who we are, such as fear. Almost every emotion that we do stems from either fear or love, from my personal experience and understanding. So if we're in a certain situation and we're, let's say, at a grad school interview, we're interviewing with for a certain program with very professional seeming people in suits and looking straight in our eyes and asking us questions on the spot. And let's say we're very, very nervous and it's all coming from fear. Is that truly who we are? The fact that we might have been stuttering with our words a little bit, or we are incredibly, immensely concerned with everything that we say and making sure there's no lulls in the conversation and trying to be perfect. And we're so overly afraid of messing up. Does that go against our qualifications that we didn't perform as perfectly as we could have been if we were answering those same questions staring at the wall when there's nobody around and no pressure, if it's just you and your pajamas staring at the wall practicing being asked certain questions you anticipate being asked later and you do them perfectly? Is that who you are? Or is who you are when you're sitting in front of people and you have that kind of threat or fear in front of you and you're terrified of messing up, or you're terrified of being seen as in a certain light, you're terrified of your identity being compromised? Is that who you are? Is the imperfection or the fear, saying things in a slightly different way because of the fear and the threat in front of you, is that behavior who you are? Do you see how these things are so immensely complex? Because there's all these different factors of who we are, why we behave in certain ways we do, and which one is truly us, or, and this is truly my opinion that I'm the whole point of me making this episode to begin with, is from my perception, they're all us. Every single version of us is us. And it's important to be as transparent with yourself and with others outwardly, overtly, as transparent as you possibly can, but still allow yourself room to mess up or to naturally let inevitable fears and inevitable emotions guide you in some way, because your brain is inevitably protecting yourself. We're wired, we're conditioned to protect ourselves. Anything we do, we know how to act in certain ways. We gain understandings of how to behave in certain situations so that we succeed and we protect ourselves from potential threat. So we know how to carry ourselves. We know not to say certain things, to avoid certain commentary in front of certain people, but we would say those exact same things we're thinking in front of our loved ones, friends and family, at home, where we're comfortable. So which one is truly us? The one that is extremely honest and transparent? Or is that not truly us because we're not acting that way outwardly with other people? Is the fake facade version of us us? Or is that not truly us? Is the us the version of ourselves internally of who we are that nobody sees? Who is us? Who are we? In my opinion, all of these things are us. We are all of them. Every version of yourself so far is a part of you. And it's very subconscious too. So you might even identify it as a facade. Be like, oh yeah, sorry, I was an a-hole that day to you at work or to that cashier at CVS. Sorry, I treated them badly. I was having a bad day. That's not truly who I am. However, it is a part of you. It is you, because the subconscious internal reason of why you behave that certain way is because you are not handling things in a correct situation, in a correct way, in a correct light. You are being immature toward it. You are taking things out and projecting upon people rather than fixing it yourself. So that is you. You just don't have the awareness to understand that that is you, because you're just thinking of the surface level. Oh yeah, this is just, you know, me having a bad day. It's not truly who I am. But apparently that is who you are, because who you are is clearly someone who at times takes things out on other people. And there's some thing within you, some either pain or healing, whatever within you that you need to handle and focus on and solve so that you don't take things out on other people. That is you. Everything we do is a part of us. So for me personally, let's provide a more personal example rather than things that you could very likely connect to, because they can likely apply to anybody, is me. Let's say me personally. Something within me that I've noticed is that I behave either incredibly femininely and very kind of like extra. Sorry for the outside noise. Again, I apologize. There we go, went away. I either behave very femininely and very kind of like extra and making certain jokes and just kind of like feminine with certain like lingo, like, okay, girl, like whatever, you know what I mean? I kind of like act like that. But I also, at the same time, am very chill. I'm either so, so chill that I'm almost quiet. I'm like genuinely quiet. Like I'm just like staring at the TV when other people are talking and I'm just like in my zone and I'm just watching and I'm more chill. And that's a little bit more of like a masculine trait, I guess. Or I'm immensely feminine. And I notice that it comes out in feminine or masculine energy also. If I feel like the individual in front of me has more feminine energy or has more masculine energy, then either of those versions will be compatible to either one of those, you know, because it's kind of compatible with the person that's in front of me. And I think that because for a long time that confused me, that very much confused me. I'm like, why is it that I'm really calm with some people and I'm really extra with others? Which one is actually me? But I think that's also just a sense of social understanding that we need to act in certain ways to make people feel comfortable sometimes, to be socially acceptable, in other words, socially appropriate. We need to act in certain ways so that we're compatible. And that goes along with the same thing as being in an interview for a grad program, and I'm in heels and black shirt, black pants, sleeked back bun, natural looking makeup. That's me too. It's just a version of me that needs to be a little bit more socially appropriate for the surroundings that I'm in. And so I've recently become quite comfortable with that. And I've accepted that about myself, that there are some people and there's some environments where I'm so chill and almost like a homie and a bro. And that's why it explains ever since I was a kid, I've had a lot of male friends. That's why, because I'm very compatible with male energy in that sense. But I also am very, very feminine and love going shopping for makeup and love trying different eyelashes on and straightening my hair and getting long acrylic nails that people always ask me about and look at and ask me where I get my nails done and going shopping. And especially in romantic relationships, I am extremely feminine. I have no masculine energy with the boyfriend, the guy that I'm dating in any relationship ever since I was a kid, not only the one I'm currently in, but ever since I was a kid, you know, and I was dating dudes like in high school and college, whatever, I've never believed in masculine energy as a girlfriend. I wanted to be provided for. I wanted the dude to text me first. I wanted him to ask me to dinners, to pick me up in a car and, you know, hold the door open for me, all these little things that some people might find very, very stereotypically offensive and feminine, and not every girl needs to be that way. But for me, I did want to be that way, and that's how I was, and that's the expectations I've ever had with any boyfriend I've ever dated. And that's just how I am, and it has confused me for such a long time why it is that I have been both feminine and masculine. Which one is actually me? Why do I act differently in front of certain people? And I've recently become comfortable and accepted the fact that they are both me. Everything about me is me. Everything that I do, that I want to do, or that I choose to do, everything is me. I don't need to act in a certain light to make other people comfortable, but I also can act in a certain light to make people comfortable. I don't have to wear these certain kind of sneakers and these pants, and I'm literally just looking at what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing like Vans and leggings and a sweatshirt because it's cold. Well, now it's kind of warm, but it was cold this morning. I don't have to wear this to go to a daycare just because I'm in front of kids and everyone kind of doesn't care what they look like because they're working with kids and there's no pressure to look nice. I also could be dressed up and in nice boots and a nice pair of jeans and full-on makeup and lashes. I could be doing that too to work with kids. I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. I don't have to do anything just because it's not going to fit with the identity that I've created for myself, so to speak, or the identity or the social role that others have perceived me as. I can do whatever I want. You can do whatever you want. We can do whatever we want, and they are still us. They are still us. There are so many people who have perceived me in a certain light throughout the last few years of my life because I am a 23-year-old getting her master's and, you know, have a 3.9 GPA and I'm quite smart and quite aware, and I learned life lessons at an incredibly, sadly, I don't even say this in a smug or arrogant way, I say this in a actually quite unfortunate way, but I had to learn life lessons at an abnormally young age. And so people tend to be drawn to me because I understand them better than they tend to understand themselves. And I've been identified for this for the last couple years, especially since I was 21, 22, but it began when I was 21. And it has killed the center of my soul because, and I don't want to dive deep into this too much because it is immensely painful, but there have been many people who have seen me and seen my identity as just the therapist friend, the person to dump their problems on, the person to send photos to of self-harm and terrifying behavior for me to open on Snap. And then I come to find out that same person doesn't like me, but they just use me because they needed someone to vent to. Or if they ran into their ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, oh my God, Rochelle, I just ran into this blank's name. What do I do? Oh my God. Instead of asking, hey, Rochelle, how are you doing? I'm noticing you're doing a lot of stuff right now. You know, you got an internship and I saw you posted about it on Facebook. How's that going? How are you feeling? I've noticed a lot of people have identified me in the role of how they perceive my identity to be, that I'm going to school for psychology, that I'm getting my master's at a young age, that I am smart in the certain things I say and the certain things I post. And then they identify the entirety of who I am based upon those things. And it is so utterly debilitating. It's something, I don't want to dive into this too deep because it's so hurtful. It's so hurtful. Because I am not just your free therapist. I'm not just the person that you can dump things on. And I even made like a post about this a couple months ago. And ever since I made that post, I think it's happened to me maybe one time, two times max. Like, it doesn't happen to me anymore because I publicize the fact that this is hurtful. And I'm sure that the people that had done it to me prior to my posting that acknowledge it and are like, oh my God, I kind of fall into that trap. I shouldn't do that to her anymore, you know? So it doesn't really happen that much anymore because I emphasized how hurtful it is, but it's still something that I struggle with every single day and I'm traumatized by. And I don't say this in a pity Rochelle way. I say this in a logical way. It hurts me. And the reason that it hurts me is because I don't want my identity to be perceived in a certain light, because I'm not just a 23-year-old who's Russian American getting her master's and is smart and can help you with your problems and is a beneficial person to use. That's not who I am. And because about 5-6 people did that to me in 3 years, that's a lot of people to do that to you in 3 years. And because that happened to me so many times, my confirmation bias began to believe that this is just my identity. This is just who I am. I'm someone that people can use. I'm someone that people think can benefit them, and they don't give a fuck about me, and I am worthless. And I don't say that to pity me. I say that because I genuinely, my soul believed that nobody cares about me. Nobody gives a fuck about me. I am worthless. I am useless other than for people to use. And that's it. And I have been in therapy since January, eight, nine months trying to heal this. And it has just scarred me. It has absolutely scarred me because that's a lot of people to do that to you in just a couple of years. And that is why I'm becoming comfortable with believing that doesn't necessarily have to be my truth. Just because other people have identified that in me as that, in other words, do you see how I'm kind of struggling to talk about this? I'm kind of all over the place. It's because it hurts. It hurts to talk about this. I feel an ache in my chest thinking and talking about it. But I realize that it doesn't need to be my identity just because other people have treated me that way. Because there's 7 billion people on the planet and 5-6 plus people that do that or would do that to you or have done that to others with a similar identity in their eyes. You know, it's not a lot of people. It's not a lot of people, and there's 7 billion. There's so many people that would not do that to me and would hurt knowing that this is what other people have done to me, would hurt for me because they would understand that that's wrong. And that's not everybody. It's just the couple of people that I run into. And so it doesn't have to be my identity. It doesn't have to be who I am. What you do doesn't have to be who you are. What you're studying, the fact that you got a bachelor's of science, the fact that you're in med school, the fact that you are also come from an immigrant family, the fact that you are living in an environment where you feel like you don't fit in with other people, that's literally every day of my life because I'm bicultural. I don't relate to 100% to either culture. So if you're living in an environment where you feel different, or you feel like the outcast, you feel like the popular one, you feel like the pretty blonde hot chick that every guy's gonna want, but then you get cheated on, who are you now? All throughout your high school and college life, every dude wanted to hook up with you. Every dude wanted you. But now, suddenly, the boy you've been with for 1 year, you've discovered has cheated on you. Who are you now? Because your identity was the hot cheerleader that got every guy that she wanted. Who are you now? That's you too. The fact that you got cheated on is you, is a part of you. Is it you entirely? No. Is the good part about you entirely you? No. We're all just all of these little pieces. We're all of these things combined. When you go through someone cheating on you, you go through any sort of pain, any sort of hurt, that is not you. Depression is not you. Anxiety is not you. It's a part of you. It's an aspect of you. Is joy you? Sure. Is sadness and days where you don't want to wake up or you listen to sad music to help you and you have earphones and you don't want to talk to people? Is that you? Yes. But also, are there days where you are so extroverted, you love life, you want to talk to everyone around you, you're in a good mood, you're in a positive mood? Is that you? Yes and no. Do you see what it is that I'm attempting to emphasize? It's all us. All of these things are just us. We're all it, and we're also not it. It's all just a little piece of us. So when someone hurts you, like that example of, you know, you've always had every girl you wanted or every guy you wanted, and then you end up in a relationship with someone who might be toxic or made a terrible mistake, etc., and you're scarred from it, your identity isn't entirely lost. That's just a new piece of your identity. How it is that you are going to handle and be resilient through this process. Are you going to go to drugs and alcohol? Are you going to have reckless sex with other people? Are you going to end up in a new rebound relationship to get a rise out of them or to fulfill that emptiness and loneliness? How are you going to solve it? Are you going to go improve yourself? Are you going to get a new job that pays you better? Are you going to make new friends who treat you better? Are you going to go to the park, local park like I did, and make a podcast episode to reach to people all over the world who might see this and have access to it? Are you going to do good things? Are you going to do bad things? Are you going to improve yourself? Are you going to harm yourself and others? Are you going to take things out on the person who is serving your food at Olive Garden? And you're going to tip them badly because you're in a bad mood? Or are you going to treat them that much better because you understand how it is to feel that pain? And so you want to improve or hurt something externally. Who are you? How do you behave? How do you carry yourself in various conversations? Do you understand what it is that I'm trying to emphasize again? You know? This is something that I think about constantly, that I am not just one thing. I am multifaceted, you are multifaceted. And just because I have been certain ways in the past does not mean that that needs to be who I want to be in the future and how people see me in the future. Certainly there can be core versions of me, like I said, from childhood that might stay the same and might remain stagnant for years or throughout the rest of my life. And I'm going to school to be a therapist. For my LPC, licensed professional counselor, will be my title. Yeah, certainly, I am that. But I'm also someone who loves to go to the movies and eat a bag of popcorn. I'm someone who loves to meet new people. I'm someone who loves Christmas. I'm someone who is a girlfriend. is a sister, is a daughter, is a lover of YouTube and podcasts and learning and reading, is bicultural, is Russian and American, is an employee. We are so many things. So just because somebody treated you a certain way in the past does not mean that it needs to be who you are now in the present or in the future. It's painful. It's so painful. It's so hard because confirmation bias is so real and it's so utterly powerful. It's so powerful when we believe and we have so much evidence that's been confirmed again and again and again that I am the easy person to use as a free therapist. People use me, people throw me away, and people don't give a shit about me, and I'm worthless. And these are very, very personal thoughts that I'm sharing. You know, so many people would choose not to share this with the world, but this is how I felt since I was 21 years old. For 2 years, this has been haunting me, and that's why I'm in therapy now for 8-9 months since January to heal it and to learn from it. That, okay, yeah, that was a part of my past, but who am I going to be in the present now? Who are we going to be in the present now? I, at one point, was being used and taken for granted and dumped problems on. This boy won't Snapchat me. This boy won't text me. This person I just ran into and gave me a snooty, stern look. This person did this. I'm upset. I'm depressed. I want to kill myself, Rochelle. Okay, that was in the past. What's now in the present? What's now in the future? What's going to be in the future? I can still have a piece of that. I can still be someone who is helpful. I can still be someone who is smart. I can still be someone who makes podcasts like this for you right now. I can still be someone who you can listen to. But I am also someone who you could go and get drunk with. Let's be frank. I could go party with you on a Friday night. I could dress up with you. I could do makeup with you. I could take shots with you. As a young 23-year-old, I could go, you know, do anything. I could do anything right now. We could go have dinner. We could go have a long conversation about life over coffee. We could talk about business. We could talk about what we want to do. We could talk about what our favorite color is, what our favorite movie is. We could do anything right now. You can do anything right now. You're not just one thing. You're not just the identity of how you have been treated for so long or how you have treated yourself for so long. We are multifaceted. Allow yourself to become and be open to anything, any way you want to be ever, because that is you. That is everything that I want to share for now. I hope you enjoy this podcast episode. I hope it spoke to you. I hope it resonated with you. Please let me know if it has, because I have a strong feeling that it has for a lot of people. Please leave me feedback, comment to me on Snapchat or Instagram, Twitter, whatever. I have them all. Contact me. Leave me feedback. Let me know. Sending you love. Thank you. Bye-bye.